only on the Double Cakes Podcast Network. And welcome, everybody. This is Al Mega. This is only the second episode of The Amp. Thank you for listening. And today I'm actually joined by a friend of mine from Queens, New York, but happens to be a pretty amazing independent hip-hop artist, and not just artist, but also producer. I'm talking about none other than Chris Pinto, a.k.a. EQ Lyrics. What's poppin', brother? How are you?
What's up? How you doing, brother?
All good, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today and get a little bit of insight into what you do in the independent hip-hop scene.
Hey,
all right?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no doubt, man. Me and wifey been listening to some of the tracks you've done recently and that you have done in the past. And it's like, you know what, man? It's time people need to hear more of you.
Yes, sir. Right. I appreciate it.
So, all right, just get a little bit of insight into who EQ is. So, did you primarily grow up in Queens, New York?
Yes, sir. Long Island City.
Long Island City. So, born and bred Long Island City from the get?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. All right. So in the Long Island City area, which happens to be just at least from where I believe you grew up, if it's the same hood, you're only just a few blocks away from Queensbridge Project, which is obviously known for a lot of big hip hop artists, essentially Nas, for example, Roxanne, which recently just had a movie. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it yet. I
want
to watch it
so bad. Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I actually definitely enjoyed it. You see a lot of representation of the young hip-hop legends. For example, Nas, Biz Markie, you know, other than, of course, Roxanne Shanté and whatnot. But obviously you have Mobb Deep, which is legendary. And unfortunately, we lost one of the two members of that crew recently. Now, growing up in obviously in Long Island City, what do you think about the hip hop scene out there in Queens right now?
It's changing. The scene in Long Island City, Queens is, there's some cats that's still doing the, traditional hip hop music, and there's young cats that are doing more of a new wave, more of the trap style that's going on today. So you can see the drastic change that what it used to be.
So, how do you feel about, this evolvement of hip hop, going into this trap scene? Are you a fan of the trap scene?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. As long as it pertains to my ears and I enjoy it, then, it takes a while to, like something. Sometimes it gotta grow on you. But we wanted hip hop to be a mainstream culture. It is a mainstream culture, and eventually mainstream culture evolves into something else. So same thing with reggaeton. At one point they went to pop. They went to like pop culture, urbano kind of style, and now they're back at the reggaeton, back to the original dembow. So I feel that's where hip hop is going right now.
Gotcha. And if any, what are your favorite right now in the trap scene?
It's not really that I like the trap scene completely, but I do like Migos. As far as trap.
I love that Narcos track that they got out.
I like it, man. It's danceable. It's fun music. But I'm a really big fan of Dave East, who's kind of transitioning into certain things. He's not doing traditional hip hop, but he's still keeping it there in that element, but he has a new sound. I'm a huge fan of Dave East. I love what Kendrick's doing on the West Coast. But he's not really a trap artist as well.
Gotcha. But at the very least, man, you're showing love for all parts of hip hop, regardless of coast, not like back in the 90s, man.
It's just like we got to all show each other love, man. Everybody else is over. New York used to be such a competitive scene, and it still is. But, what I like about the younger generation is that they support each other now. New York back in the day, they weren't supporting each other. And that's what I feel led to, traditional hip hop not being the mainstream on radio and TV at this moment. You know, not, I don't want to say it's downfall because hip hop will never die. No. You know what I'm saying? But it's, you know, East Coast music, especially New York style music, we weren't supporting each other. So I think it's time that we start doing that again.
No, I absolutely agree there. Definitely, there's a lot of, unfortunately, you know, haterade, quote unquote, you know, amongst people within the industry. And it kind of sucks. You know, it's true that, you know, if you look at any other type of industries, when you see how supportive they are of one another, regardless if they're competitors or not, it's a shame that we don't see too much of that, you know, unfortunately, from our fellow New Yorkers, man. A shame.
Yeah.
Top talent out there.
No, there's tons of talent. I've been going to a lot of shows. I've been performing a lot, and I've been performing with a lot of talented people. And it's amazing to see how much talent there is out there. Like, I performed at New Blue on Friday, which is on East 9th Street and Avenue C in Lower East Side. And we had it packed. It was like over 250 people in that club, and
nice.
It was pretty much sold out. But even the performers from beginning to end, you know, it was amazing, and I was happy to be a part of that scene.
Oh, that's fantastic, dude! So let's get a little bit into your musical background. I mean, what is it? Are you a self-taught individual?
As far as production, yeah, you know, I taught myself how to play piano. You know, I've been rapping since I was 9 years old. You know, I went to school for audio engineering. I went to the Institute of Audio Research, which I believe is closing down now, unfortunately.
Really? That's a shame.
I think the rent is too high in Manhattan or something. They can't afford it anymore.
Dude, man, like a foot costs $2,000 out there. Forget about it.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I don't know if they're relocating, but I heard they were shutting down.
That's a shame, man. They, you know, obviously they're able to produce talent like yourself. It's a shame.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Everything's changing in New York as far as even the scenery. You know, I don't know if you remember the Fun Factory, the Five Points, where they had all the graffiti.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know it's not there no more, right?
Not there no more. They whitewashed it, but I believe all the graffiti artists are splitting $7 million. They just won a civil lawsuit against
really?
The people. Yeah, so you know, it was a slight victory because what happened was they said that they were gonna paint over it on a specific day, and they did it like the day before in the middle of the night. Mm. Nobody was. Like, look at it, and it was just like, wow.
A sneak attack.
Yeah, and, bastards. You know, it's crazy. You know, Queensbridge and Long Island City is not what it used to be. Everything's, if I could use the word gentrification correctly, that's exactly what's going on. There's skyscrapers here now.
Dude, it never. I was watching a TV show not too long ago, and when they spoke about, you know, that specific area, Long Island City, they more or less called it Downtown Queens.
Yeah, it looks like
it a whole different feel.
It looks like Wall Street. I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's you remember the only skyscraper that was in Long Island City was the Citibank building.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now they got over a dozen buildings just as tall, if not taller, surrounding it. So it's insane. That's not including the hotels on the other side of the tracks. You know what I mean? On the side of the tracks.
So you think, you know, those changes in the community itself have changed the hip hop culture in the community?
It can. You know, remember, most rappers rap about what's going on and what they see. So, you know, eventually Long Island City is going to be a totally different area, you know, than what it was in the 80s, 70s, 90s, 2000s, you know?
Funny to call it the ghetto, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not even a ghetto no more, you know? Which, living here my entire life, it has its perks, but it's also kind of sad at the same time. It's bittersweet, I should say. And, you know, but, you know, I think that, I think it, you know, I think people also need to get used to change. You have to change in order to evolve and get better. So, you know, you never know where this is going to take music, pop culture, and, you know, anything else. So,
absolutely. So you mentioned earlier that you started rapping at about the age of 9.
Yeah.
When was the first time you had the courage to hit up a studio and say, okay, this is what I want to do and I want to record? What made you take that initial step?
I didn't have anybody to guide me to a studio. Remember, it was so competitive, nobody wanted to help anybody out. A lot of people knew I rapped and didn't even want to point me in the direction of any studio. So I took this route of going to IAR to get a job at a studio when I found out that there was a studio not too far from me, which is the old Power Play. Eric B, Fat Joe, and a lot of people, Rakim, they all cut their first albums over there.
Word, legends, man.
Yeah. I went to In Your Ear Studios, and I still work there to this day. And, you know, I've grown from there, so.
Man, have you met any amazing artists at the studio while you've been employed there?
Yeah, I've worked with almost every hip-hop legend there is. I've worked with Curtis Blow.
No way.
And yeah, he's cool as hell. Large Professor, I did a whole
main source, man. Monster.
Yeah, I love them dudes. Large Professor is one of my closest friends. His birthday just passed. Happy birthday, Large.
Happy birthday, brother. Yo, folks, man, if y'all don't know your hip-hop history, you keep in mind, man, it was Main Source, Live Professor, that put Nas on to his first track.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir. You know, Tragedy Gaddafi. Now, I mean, that's one of my brothers right there. You know, I work with a lot of cats. Down to Slaughterhouse, Joel Ortiz. You know, Fat Joe. Who else? Sauce Money.
Was there anyone in particular that made you starstruck? That you were like, holy shit, no way I'm chilling with this person right now.
You know what's crazy? I don't really get starstruck like that.
Okay. Okay. Oh, maybe somebody that made you know, like, wow, you're just impressed at the very least. Like, wow, you know?
Yeah, I'm impressed by everybody, but I would say it might have been Curtis Blow out of everybody. Even though I've put bigger stars than him, it's per se in pop culture's eyes. But he's a pioneer. Like, you know, I grew up listening to Curtis Blow when I was like 4 years old.
Well, I hear you. Definitely. He's definitely not just he's a legend. I mean, he was there at the start.
Yeah, and I was just shocked on how cool he was.
Did he spit while you were there? Did he spit?
Yeah, he did a rap. So here's the crazy part. I think I was in Pennsylvania. I was in Pennsylvania visiting my parents, and I got a phone call like, yo, Curtis Blow wants to work with you. And I'm like, oh, let's go. I skated to New York real fast. So he booked 10 hours at the studio, and then he cut a record. And it was amazing to work with him because he did like the traditional way. He was just like, yo, listen, man, we're going to take this drum loop. Let's take this drum loop. So he was like, speed it up, slow it down. He found the right tempo for it. He called his boy up. His boy was like a jazz musician. And he had his boy playing keys and bass and everything. And then he had me record the vocals. He took a sweet time. He booked 10 hours to do one record, which he was cool. He was awesome. And I don't know if you ever heard of Fonda Rae.
Yeah, I'm too familiar. I mean, but I'm a person, I'm not too good with names, but you show me your face, I'd be like, I know.
She had that one song, All Night Long. I think that's the way it went.
Yes, I gotcha.
Yeah, I believe that's the record that she had. And yeah, Fonda Rae came through. It was cool. It was just like, wow, you know, I was so amazed that I was able to work with somebody like him.
Wow, man. I can't imagine how you must have felt, man. Again, that is a legendary moment, something you probably hold dear to your heart. So going from that, so would you call that your favorite collaboration?
It was one of my favorite sessions. See, like I'm very proud of, you know, the Large Professor, Professor at Large album. Okay. Because I worked on a whole album with him. I'm also very proud of Joel Ortiz, the Brick album, because I worked on a whole album with Joel. I'm very proud of the stuff that I did with Joel Ortiz, because Joel Ortiz wasn't famous when I was working with him. It grew into what he is now. I knew Joel Ortiz before he was signed to Dr. Dre or
Eminem. You knew Joel before he was Joel.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like, you know, I was part of that process, which made him evolve into that.
Yeah, he's definitely, I feel, probably one of the most underrated rappers out of New York. And it's probably because he's Latino, man. I swear.
He's a great.
We're very underrated.
Most of us are.
Yeah, man. They better not sleep, though, because you know what, people? We're waking up, man. So you're all about to get shook. Let's get real here. All right, so, dude, all right, so let's get into your writing, all right? Because, you do rhyme other than just produce. What are kind of the main inspirations for the lyrics you write? You know, what do you think about when you're developing a track?
I try not to think anymore. I used to write, and I used to try to think hard. Right now, the type of music that I'm making are very fun records. So I just try to go with the feeling of the moment. So I'll listen to a few beats, and then, you know, whatever words kind of come to me, if it feels right, then I'll go with it. A lot of the time I rewrite songs. So I'm always rewriting songs or relaying vocals or redoing songs until it's perfect. So it all depends on the situation. And it depends on what kind of style I'm trying to do.
Okay. So, you know, and talking about the music you've written and whatnot, and if people would visit the EQ Lyrics YouTube page, you always got a whole bunch of tracks there. Now, out of the tracks that are on the YouTube site, was there anyone in particular that stood out to you that you loved the most working on? Because, for example, you got the Henny Colada, you got the Power Rule track, what else? The Beautiful Day?
Yes.
You know, so, and you try to be different in all the tracks as well. So, you know, talk to us about those processes and whatnot.
The Henny Colada record was real fun. That was inspired by a drink that actually gets made. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember Nuevo Jardín de China?
Okay, uh-huh. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's on Broadway in Astoria.
Yeah.
They used to actually deliver it, and I think they can't deliver stuff anymore. They used to deliver alcohol and food. You know, they're a Chinese restaurant that makes great Spanish food, which sounds kind of crazy, but...
You know what, though? You got a spot like that in Jackson Heights, too. It's a bunch of Dominican Chinese folks. It'll bug you out, you know. They say, alo con polo, you know. But you know what? It's some of the best food you ever eat.
Yeah, and they speak better Spanish than I do. So I'm like, what the hell?
EQ is taking Spanish lessons from El Jardín, you know.
I used to have my friend. She used to bring me a friend of mine. She used to bring me Henny Coladas all the time, every time she visited me. So, I just decided, like, you know what? It's summertime's coming. This would be incredible. And it actually naturally came to me. My man, Ben Grimm, produced the track, and I heard it. And actually, he left, and I didn't realize that he actually left it in my computer. So I called him up, like, I need this beat. Like, I got to take it. Like, don't try to sell it to anybody else. I need this right here.
So let me ask you, how many Henny Coladas did you drink as you did the song?
Oh, wow. I almost killed myself. I easily had four, I think, while recording that record.
Gotcha. So you had Henny all up in you, baby. Forget about it.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. And then we did the video, and I don't know if you could tell, but I'm very drunk in that video.
Well, you look very happy, so yeah, I guess so.
I look very drunk. My new video coming out soon. My new video is supposed to be dropping either today or tomorrow.
What's the name of the track and what's the production team behind that?
My new music video is called Icy, and it's with me and Johnny Patrap and Champ Beats. We got a whole entire project together called Tacos and Liquor. Okay. Tacos and Liquor is going to drop April 17th. It'll be on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. But yeah, the Icy video should be either dropping today or tomorrow, the latest.
And who happened to film that particular video? Because I've seen that most of the videos are kind of the same videographer. Is it the same individual?
The videographer for this one is Convo. It's directed by Convo. He also did Cooking Records. He directed that. He's the one who directed that video.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. All right. So let me ask you a question here. If you could compare yourself to an already established artist, who would that be and why?
Who would that be and why?
That's a common question, but, you know, you got to throw it out there, man.
Wow. That's a difficult question. Already established artist? I don't know.
Somebody you look up to or someone that's out there. I know you're unique, but you know how people are.
I'm very influenced by like Nas and Rakim, but I feel like I evolved because music also is changing. So I'm very diverse in what I can do. So that's why the question is a little more difficult than you. If you would have asked me this like 5 years ago, I probably would have said Nas or Rakim, or you know, even LL Cool J with the battling, because I love to battle. But I'm not into that anymore. I'm just into making fun music and putting smiles on people's faces. So. That's a very good question for me.
So what you just said there kind of goes into what I wanted to ask you next. You know, what do you think your listeners would get out of the music you create?
Right now?
What do you want them to get out of it?
I want them to just have fun, man. Honestly, the message that I wanted to deliver is have fun. Don't hurt nobody. Enjoy life. That's the kind of the message that I want to deliver. The reason I'm not making any kind of street records, because I could easily talk about that coming, growing up in Queensbridge during the time that I grew up and in Long Island City. You know, I could easily make hood music, but I didn't want to go that route anymore.
We have enough of it, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like we're living in such harsh times where we constantly watch the news and there's school shootings. There's, you know, we got a president who's trying to get us killed by North Korea right now. So it's just like there's so much bad news and so much division within our country and our culture. It's just, you know, I just want to unite people to have fun. And that's all I'm representing. You know, as far as the Tacos and Liquor Project, which is the reason why I hooked up with Johnny Patrap, is and Champ Beats. Well, Champ Beats, I've always been down with him. Mm-hmm. But the reason we're doing this project is because our vibes are fun vibes. Like, there was no tension when we met each other. It was just automatically you could read, these are good people. You're surrounded by good people. So, like, you know, we have Cooking. Cooking's a fun record. Icy's a fun record. The next record that we're probably doing is got a song called Ice in My Ramen Noodles. We have a song called Wave Riders. We got another song, Vibes. And all of these songs, when you hear this whole project from front to back, except for the last record that's going to be on it, which we kind of wanted to touch on the serious joint, because it's an EP. It's a 6-song EP project that we're doing.
Okay, nice. Do you have a a name for the album itself yet.
No, yeah, it's called Tacos and Liquor.
So it's just gonna it's called Tacos and Liquor. That's not just the production, but the name of the album. All right, gotcha.
Yeah, the whole project is called Tacos and Liquor, and you know, if you were to be in Long Island City now, man, everybody loves tacos and liquor. It's all about the bar scene. It's all about, you know, eating after you drink and just having fun, having a good night.
Still eat pizza after I drink, man. Come on.
Yeah, man. It's all about the tacos. You gotta have some tacos now.
Yeah, man. I hear you. I used to like to get the shish kebabs out over there by, what's that club? Broadway?
Broadway. It was Gleason's, right on by Gilby's.
Yeah, man. What? Shish kebabs is no joke,
man. I remember that.
I want to ask you another question then. What advice would you give to somebody that maybe is trying to break into the industry? Because you see, you play it from both sides. You know, you're an artist that, you know, obviously doing rhymes and whatnot, but you're also a producer. And actually, before you even answer that question about the advice, out of the two, which is more probably difficult between production and rhyming?
Production, I would say, for me at least. Everybody's different. You know, production is a little more difficult for me. You know, rapping is what I do. I do that the best. That's another reason why I do fun music, because I've lived through so much pain, like, you know, just battle rapping and making aggressive style music. It's very easy for me. So it's more of a challenge to do something different.
To do something outside your norm, basically.
Yes. So, you know, production is difficult, and I just love being part of the music scene. You know, being part of the music scene, you know, I've been on stage with Raekwon. I've met Redman. I've met all these people. It's amazing. So, what I want to do right now with my life, and what I want to inspire other people to do, even the younger generation who want to come up after me, is just have fun, enjoy your life, do the best that you can, stay true to yourself, and that would be the best advice that I could give anyone, whether it's in music or in life in general. You know, be humble. You know, just be true to yourself. That's it.
Just be real to who you are, man, at the end of the day. I hear that, baby. You say that you've performed before on stage. What, if any, is probably one of the best performances, at least in your mind, that you had? A standout performance, even if you were on stage with someone else. What was that one time you felt like king of the world on that stage?
This past Friday was one, which was at New Blue. Just the massive amount of people that were there was incredible, and the reception that we got was incredible.
The energy level must have been insane with that many people.
Yeah, and there was one time that I performed at the Shillelagh Tavern for the first ever Astoria Hip Hop Festival, and really? I performed it, I think it was 2 years ago in Astoria, and the reception that I got for Henny Colada was amazing. They just absolutely loved that record, and I was just baffled by the reception that I got, you know.
But it's well deserved, man. You're a very talented individual, and I hope that once people listen to this show, because folks, you know, be able to see all of his social links right below the recording. So make sure you click them and subscribe, because this is a very talented individual.
Thank you.
No doubt, brother. No, it's not because I know you only, man. You're gifted. You honestly are, man. I'm very proud of somebody that is as talented as yourself. You mentioned Astoria Hip Hop Festival, and unfortunately, I've been away from New York for almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
With that, do they still do that Hip Hop Festival in Astoria?
Yeah, now they're doing more of it. They're doing a lot of festivals in Astoria and in Long Island City. They have a lot of community groups, community centers that organize events. Like I believe they did a bar crawl for Astoria for St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, they put these articles out on these blog sites and they say, oh, these are the dopest bars in Astoria that you can go to. Like I said, this area is becoming very trendy. So, you know, there's cats that want to be heard. So there's people putting together events like Story Hip Hop Festival where, you know, you can go to a particular bar or anything and you can see somebody perform. And then you could go to an art show down the block and the whole art show is hip hop based. Like they did a tribute. I think that year they did a tribute to Tribe Called Quest, nice. Recipes Fife. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's dope to see that people come together, you know, and
absolutely. Cause I know when I lived in Long Island City, at least before I left, and I didn't see them tear down the graffiti building. Although when I went back to visit, I see that along 23rd Street, for example, we still see a lot of the graffiti work there. I guess buildings that have allowed graffiti artists to write on them. But I know that the scene in Long Island City is always very diverse. For example, with the PS1 and the summertime shows that they do, tend to be house or EDM centric, and some hip hop. I remember when it was there. You know, I don't know if it's returned like they promised, but they also had the Water Taxi Beach, and you know, I got to see some great hip hop legends perform there.
So I used to love. Bring that back. I haven't been to the Water Taxi in a while, but I did go to PS1 and Gold Links performed. And that time I was at the Water Taxi, that was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and Jelly Bean was DJing.
See, I went to a time when Jelly Bean was DJing, and my daughter was really small. It was a Sunday, and I decided to take her. It was just me and her went down there. She's dancing her little butt off. And if you'd believe it, Jelly Bean sent his assistant to bring me and my daughter up to him so he could say, your daughter's going to be a beast in the future. I was like, whoa, that's this is Jelly Bean. My daughter's like, who the hell is this guy, you know?
That was
pretty dope. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, definitely the scene in Long Island City is pretty dope. You know, I'm a Brooklyn boy myself, though. Born, you know, born, not born, but at least raised, because I was born in Puerto Rico. Anyway, let that Puerto Rican out. All right, dude. I want to ask you something. Since you have been performing, and that was kind of my last question to you, what would be your dream venue to perform in?
Oh, Madison Square Garden.
That's your joint right there, huh? Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, if I could put on the biggest show in New York City, then say goodnight.
It has to be at the Garden.
It has to be at the Garden.
You know what? And talking about the Garden, at least when I live back in the hood, you're always big into boxing. You're still into boxing?
Yeah. I still work with Havoc Boxing Promotions.
Did you achieve your goal? Because I know when at that time we spoke, you were trying to get into being the cut man. Did you achieve
that goal? I actually did 2 fights as a cut man, slash court man.
There goes my boy. Awesome.
For my very first one, we went to Guyana, and I helped train a fighter.
Guyana? South America, Guyana?
Yeah, South America, Guyana.
Wow, dude. We went all the way out there to train a fighter.
Yeah, we trained him over here in New York, but the fight was over there.
Ah, okay.
And it was for the WBC Kabofe title. So for the very first, it wasn't a world title, but it was a legitimate Caribbean title from the WBC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was amazing to work my first fight for a title.
I hope you didn't have to work too hard on your boy.
Oh yeah, he got cut immediately. it wasn't a great night. It was a good day. It wasn't a great night.
Understood. So you definitely had your work cut out for you. All right. But you actually achieved that, because going back, you know, at least back in the hood, you used to tell me that's something you wanted to do. So I'm glad you got to fulfill that as well.
And that's another thing that I want to say with people who want to come up in the music industry. It also leads to other doors, man. It opens other doors for you. Whatever you want to do is acting, you know, sports. You know, you meet so many people because of music, movies, everything. You know, you can achieve any dream really through the music industry. It'll open many doors for you.
You're absolutely right. I mean, so long as you stay humble, I mean, it actually happens across, you know, what I'm doing, you know, across comic books. You know, if we've actually gone to talk to actresses and people that have done music, you know, like yourself. And like I spoke in my first episode to a group of brothers called Duo Diagnosis out of New Jersey that are doing some ill stuff. So, yeah, I understand what you mean. When you do one thing, it definitely does lead to more opportunity. You know, but key of it all is staying humble, you know, and real and true to what you do.
Let me ask you a question.
What's up, man?
Black Panther, 1 to 10, what do you think?
All right, Black Panther is just funny. I actually watched this the other day, all right? And I always said when it comes to my number one Marvel movie, it is The Winter Soldier, because it didn't feel like your typical superhero movie. It was an espionage movie, you know? You put the superhero onto a second. But however, after watching Black Panther, it has immediately become my second favorite Marvel movie. It won't topple in the story wise of Winter Soldier, but it was definitely an empowering film that shows that a diverse character can carry a film, can make an ill film. You know,
yeah. And
actually something that resonates with people. So now what I'm really waiting for is seeing a Latino hero, you know, in the lead, you know, and make me feel good as well, you know, for my community. You know, I'm proud of that. Black people got this opportunity, you know, well deserved. Their first Marvel character got that film finally. But now I'm also want to wait for our people to have our opportunity to feel the same way as they did. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, but it's definitely a great movie. I loved it from beginning to end. It definitely kept me hooked. The whole cast, ensemble cast, was amazing. The imagery, the special effects, the action sequences. I mean, Marvel really did a great job with this, as did obviously the whole cast, man. So how did you enjoy it?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. You know, it was crazy. Usually some movies feel, when you watch them in theaters, you feel like they last a long time. This movie was like about 2 hours, but it didn't even feel that way.
No, it didn't.
It felt really short. I was just like, wow, it felt short. Not too short, but, you know, it felt short. I was like, okay, I didn't feel like I was in the movie theater forever. So, you know, that's how you could kind of know it's a great movie. It didn't really drag.
Agreed. When you don't have those slow points, and it just keeps you engaged.
Yeah.
Again, a great job by Marvel and the whole cast, you know, and I look forward to seeing, you know, not just a Latino character come, but, you know, seeing any type of diversity, you know, take center stage in the film, you know, whether it be, you know, a woman-centric film or Latino-centric, Asian-centric, you know.
Yeah,
it's all time that we all have our opportunities to have something to look up to and see something that shines, you know?
Yeah, and I'm actually very happy that they got Kendrick Lamar to do the soundtrack.
Within my particular Comic Crusader team, there's people that felt a type of way over the soundtrack because some of the language used, because they felt that they couldn't repeat that language.
Yeah.
So yes, language is the thing which we try to explain. It's just something, you know, it's a cultural thing within what it is, you know, especially within the hip hop culture, for example.
Yeah, understandable.
They didn't want to get that though. They feel offended and they felt that they needed a clean cut album so they could enjoy it as well. I'm not a fan of all of the tracks, but I'm not gonna say that, you know, the album sucks. It doesn't. It definitely does have its moments and its good tracks.
Yeah.
I think, you know, our friend O3, for example, he has spoken a little bit about the Black Panther film and the soundtrack in particular. And there was a couple of songs that he thought that maybe should have taken forefront because they were more party-like with what the atmosphere that you're trying to bring. As opposed to being a little bit too hard, you know?
Yes.
And how do you feel about that also as an artist in regards to the language used on a track?
You know what? I feel there shouldn't be a limit to people expressing themselves. You know, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. You don't have to listen to it. Same thing with what you watch on TV. You know, anybody could take offense to violence. Anybody could take offense to, you know, what it may be, you know. You know, but we have the option to choose what we want to listen to and what we want to watch.
So how do you feel when a person takes offense to something and instead of just tuning out, they go on the offensive and start trying to tell everybody not to listen? Do you think that that's the proper tactic for people to take?
You know what? I can't really answer that question. I don't know if I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever done that because I don't think that's my style. But if I don't like it, I'll definitely be vocal about it. If I don't like something, I'll definitely be vocal about it.
That's just the Latino in you, man. We love talking shit.
I would just say like, and if I would just tell you not to watch or listen to anything, I would mean good intentions out of it, not just because I dislike it. I just might feel that you might dislike it as well, so don't waste your time. But I don't like just promoting stuff that, you know what I mean? If I don't like it, I don't like it. There's people that go out their way to bash someone else's creativity or someone else's work. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing. That's why I wanted to make this my music so fun. Like, I try to make fun records because there's so much bashing going on, and just not to get off topic, but you know, even now, to if you scroll on somebody, let's just say like a internet. If you go to Instagram and you go to someone who's real famous, for example, John Jones. Mm-hmm. John Jones recently got caught for banned substances and fighting, right? Okay. Now, he's not totally convicted yet. You know what I mean? I'm a little disappointed at the situation. But I read the things that's on his Instagram from people who troll. And I see that he takes a picture with his brother who's in the NFL. You know, he puts a picture with his brother up, like, I'm proud of my brother, you know, making the NFL, this, that, and the third. And then I see the comments and they just bash him. Oh, does your brother take steroids too? It's just like, yeah. What's wrong with you guys? So
there's a whole culture of hate out there, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so, you know, I might be vocal about not liking something. Just because I don't like something doesn't mean you shouldn't give it a try. You know, I'm not good at basketball. Doesn't mean that I'm going to tell the next kid, hey, don't shoot a basketball because I don't like it. You know, I like watching it. I don't like playing it. Shut.
Nobody likes to play with me. They call me the butcher because I leave handprints on your forearms.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the old school stuff. Hack and Shack.
I haven't heard that in a while. Nice, Hack and Shack. Awesome. All right, so brother, before we close out on this particular episode, please let people know where they could listen to the sounds of EQ Lyrics.
You could just type in anything about EQ Lyrics. You could go to eqlyrics.com. You can go to twitter.com/EQLyrics or @me, EQLyrics. All spelled the correct way. No underscores, no, you know, periods or anything. Same thing with Instagram. Instagram is @EQLyrics. Facebook.com/EQLyrics. You can find me pretty much anywhere. Even if you type me in on Spotify, I have a song called Call Me Crazy featuring Doris Seller right now. I took down the Fusion Music EP because I'm revamping it into a whole album. Nice. I'm taking the songs off of there and putting it on a new album and remixing and remastering those records. So, you know, but you can find me on Spotify, EQ Lyrics, and iTunes and any other outlets, Pandora.
Excellent. There you go, folks, man. So make sure to check out EQ Lyrics on all his social platforms. They'll definitely be shared below the actual recording on our social media post. And I want to thank you again for listening. This is Al Omega. Be safe, and we out.
Comic Crusaders!
This has been a UCPN production. Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit the Undercover Case website to listen to the rest of our podcast and video family. And visit Comic Crusaders for the latest and greatest in the world of comics.